You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North. I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
They're going to let them play this time. 6-5, McClung for the win. Got it! Three-pointer good with 2.2 seconds left. Not necessarily for the win, but return of the Mac. 80-77 Red Raiders with 2.2 left.
How much did he talk about the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl year or last year, and how much that bothered him that he wasn't part of it?
Well, I remember last year, beginning of the season, he talked about it a little bit. It's like he knew they were going to go and win it all. Yeah, I know he wanted to be a part of it. He's here now, so he's ours now.
I think everybody here does a great job of just hitting the reset button. Each week, you're having to put everything you have into it during the week, and then you empty that bucket on Sunday. And so you just have to hit the reset button. And right now, I think your guys are doing a great job of that.
And now, wondering if, when Chris Beard leaves, will Texas Tech call Bill Self? Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Chris Beard's a popular guy. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
He's a popular guy. Our buddy Tate, I believe, has a man crush on him.
Yes.
He sends me Chris Beard videos.
It's a very good one. They do this thing called Fireside Chat, and they did one on the plane last night. It's quite funny. Is it the one from last night with Mac McClung?
Yeah. Yep.
We have a little clip of that maybe for later.
Yeah, that's it's good stuff. He's the man. There's a lot of Bill Self in that guy, and you can see why they're buds, because both of them, they both know the game forward and backward, but they both can also connect and communicate with their players. So, they're impressive guys, to say the least. All right, we got the busy program today coming your way. For whatever reason, I again have chosen not to print the show sheet, so we turn to Jed. What's on tap as I open up the Excel?
Well, here in the 2 p.m. hour, around 2:40, we will be joined by our friend Fat Jack of Fat Jack Sports for a great edition of the program picks in the 3 p.m. hour. Too fast?
No, you're good. I've got it open now, but I'm enjoying your rundown.
Stump the Chumps in the 3 p.m. hour, brought to you by our friends at Jazz, a chance to win great Cajun food. In the 4 p.m. hour, Blair Kirchhoff, I believe it's pronounced, from the Kansas City Star, the great news publication here in our fine city, brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon, I-35 in Santa Fe. I'm actually in the market for a new car, so I've been using their website quite a bit. And then in the 5 p.m. hour, our good friend George Shahruri from Pro Football Focus at around 5:20 p.m.
Well done.
Prior to that, we will bring you all the things you need to know. I would assume a lot of coordinator sound from the Chiefs today. And we will get out of here with the kicker, Soren's parting shot, one of the best things that I enjoy each day.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I always like to leave you, satisfied.
Well, it means I get to go home is really the bottom line.
Oh, okay. It signals the end of the day. That's nice. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's not that I'm just a lazy ass and this is the first time I'm thinking about the program today, but the coordinators were supposed to go at 1:35 and the first one appeared at like 1:48.
Yeah.
So, the whole Zoom process to the show process, there is a little bit that needs to be done. And then Seattle wanted, I guess they're going to every home market and getting a why the team will win or lose, right, for all the games, mm-hmm. all the teams that are left in the playoffs. And so I wedged that in between the Zoom. Jed was listening to me, as the Open is playing, I'm giving a breakdown for Seattle of the Chiefs. So a little bit discombobulated as we go.
The cool part was, though, as the intro is playing, you got it, man. Anytime. And I'm like, well, hopefully not anytime like this, but, anytime meaning, anytime in the future, you got it, buddy.
Well, and I'll tell you, Kevin up there in Seattle, he was like, oh, man, I really appreciate it. I know you got a show to go on. I'm like, oh, okay, good. So we're going to rock this real fast. Well, he had a lot at the end. Well, I know you got a show, so, hey, we'll probably call you next week. And okay, man, you got it. Anytime. Yeah. So that's great. You even put the line in there. You got the spread into that prediction. Okay. Well, I know you got a show to do.
So what's happening, Casey? You guys all excited? Gotta go.
Literally, it's your teams, your town. All right, man. Literally, they're going to hear me saying goodbye to you in Kansas City here in a second.
On George Carlin's final stand-up bit that he did just months before he passed back in 2008, he did a whole bit about trying to talk people into a soft landing when you want to get off the phone with them.
Yeah.
Like, you can't use body language. Right. You go, okay. Oh, yep. Damn it.
Take care. Bye-bye. We'll see you soon. All right. Yeah. Oh, geez. You need like, there needs to be like a signal, like, you know, out. You know, like, you just go out and that's it. Nope, nothing. He outed.
I just love his term. Talk them into a soft landing. Doesn't work. Okay. All righty. Okay. Let's see it. So, damn it. They keep talking. So accurate.
Yeah. So we'll maybe have some coordinator sound later on. I did get in a question of Dave Tobe. Poor Dave Tobe today got hit.
Fumbling the punt
against the Chargers out of the gates. Teicher goes, Dave, fumble punt. He's like, oh, come on, man, really? And he's like, well, you know, if I could talk to you 5 minutes after the game, I'd already had this question, but it's my first chance to talk to you. And he's like, yeah, I know. All right, go ahead.
Accurate.
And then I hit him with the last question he got was, hey, last year the divisional round against Houston, really all the highs and all the lows of being a special teams. He goes, oh, man, you said it. So he got booked in it. But he got to talk about the highs. He did point out we had two really bad plays to start, but we had three really good ones. So, you know, we got the better of it. Which they did. I'm interested in this as will the coordinators continue talking right now. Maybe we'll get some of that a little bit later on here in the program. We will, definitely. It'll miracle itself into the system, I assume. Is Lebo on it?
I imagine he's probably listening to it and marking some things at the moment. Yeah, would so be my guess.
Good. All right, so we'll be good if Todd's making it happen.
Certainly by 5 o'clock, we'll have all the best for need to know.
Yes, absolutely. Maybe sprinkle some in, you know, before. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Busy day. Great opportunity. I don't know what that means. I don't have a good transition. Let's just keep going on what I wrote down is to talk about today. That's because I don't have anything good here. Who's got the most at stake and what's left in this playoffs? I want to talk about Urban Meyer to the Jags, Eric Bieniemy, and whether or not he's going to get passed over again. You know, as some of the jobs are going to start filling, I think, here over this weekend. But who would you say has the most at stake?
Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Is the first thought.
Wow, I like that. That's better than mine.
Strong.
I was going to say Tom Brady because in spite of how good he's looked, I think this will probably be his best opportunity to win a Super Bowl and truly cement the legacy that it was him and not Belichick.
Interesting. Okay,
I think he has the most to gain.
I was like, he's got six championships.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell can it be Brady? I was just waiting for you to stop talking so I could crap on you. But then you made a relative point there at the end, and I was like, nah, okay, I see the angle.
First
there's
one, man.
That
maybe most to gain from my Jackson pick is the guy who has the most pressure to get a win. Because if he loses to a guy, another young quarterback, I think there's a lot of pressure for him to get one. Maybe winning is something to gain, but he has more to lose, I think, than Brady. If Brady loses, he still has the six rings. If Lamar Jackson loses, okay, now you've lost another playoff game, and you've lost to another a young quarterback like yourself. Now Josh Allen's ahead of you because he's going to play in a conference championship game, which you haven't done yet. So maybe those two different questions.
I think I love right now with eight teams still being left in the playoffs. I love the idea of that question. We like to do this, you know, what's at stake, who's got the most at stake. I love those because it really makes you think about all the dynamics. It kind of, to me, what it does for me is it allows me to kind of find the moment's place in history.
Yeah.
Right? If I ask that question, you know, hey, Kansas going down to Oklahoma State, what's at stake here? Right? Like, it's just another game. I, you know, Cade Cunningham, I guess, all right, it's a moment for him. Can he, in his 1 year and two tries, get a win against Oklahoma or get a win against Kansas? There was something at stake there. I think for Boynton, having the player, there was something at stake, right? But it allows you, you go through that, and you can kind of fit it into history. For Kansas, there's mostly just another game, right? Just another loss. There aren't many for them, but just another loss. From a race, you know, you could say, oh, well, you know, they got to get this because they don't want to fall two games back of Texas and Texas Tech. Texas and Baylor, I guess it was that they were two games back of. You don't want to do that. So, I mean, there wasn't nothing at stake, but that's not one of the games. 10 years from now, we're not going to talk about the Kansas-Oklahoma State game from 2020, right?
Right.
So you go through the exercise, and you're like, meh, you know, it's something to watch on TV. But if you look at it right now, I think because I did this, and I ended up writing down like a dozen names that I think there's a lot at stake for. And I'll just give you like a quick overview. Like, and by the way, I didn't have either one of the names you guys said. But I like the reasons you both gave. I think you're absolutely right. At stake for Lamar Jackson is, hey, he can get back in front of Josh Allen as the challenger to Patrick Mahomes. Right? Patrick Mahomes is the guy. This is a chance. He's got a win, so he's got the offers off his back now on the playoffs, but a chance to push on into the conference championship game. And I think that value is there for Josh Allen, kind of the reverse. You know, I would agree that because he's kind of been on the scene as a top quarterback longer, there's maybe more on Lamar Jackson. Allen almost gets a pass. Like last year, they were winning in spite of him, most people would say. You know, he was kind of a better runner than thrower. And I'm talking about Josh Allen. I know which guy I'm talking about. But running for touchdowns, now it's kind of like his birth. It's like, oh, everything is kind of new and fresh money, right? There's no expectations yet. And he keeps that going if he wins. If he loses to Lamar Jackson, okay. I don't think he falls off the map, right? But, you know, it's just like, hey, he couldn't make the conference championship game, lost to Lamar Jackson. Then lose to Mahomes next year, and it's like, well, he can't beat the top two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be more at stake next year for Josh Allen. But to your point, Lamar Jackson's, this is his third crack at a run at the Super Bowl. So, to me, like we talked about yesterday, about Patrick Mahomes and what was accomplished with Mahomes in his run through the playoffs last year was, or his first 2 years, was he got to check everything off. Can he 5,000 yard it? Yep. Can he 50 touchdown it? Yep. Can he be the league MVP? Yep. Can he win a Super Bowl? Yep. Can he win the MVP of the Super Bowl? Yep. You know, can he back that up with a good statistical year? Yep. 38 touchdowns this year, 4,700 yards, almost led the league in yards in just 15 games. You know, he keeps checking every single box that you can put in front of him. It's like the best way to start a career. The other young guys, you know, to your point, Lamar Jackson got his first win. Baker Mayfield got his first win. They got to check those boxes. But there's still so many of those boxes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's fine to say that, okay, great. You know, we sat here and wanted for a better quarterback. When we got Alex Smith, we were excited. We had Alex Smith playing at a high level, getting the Chiefs to 11-5, going in and putting the Colts on the ropes. You know, at that moment, we felt like, okay, that game was a disaster, but it wasn't because Alex Smith can't score. The defense just fell apart, right? So we got a quarterback that can you know, didn't win the division title that year because Peyton Manning was still in Denver, but you felt like this guy can win division titles, and we can win playoff games with this guy. Then 3-4 years down the road, you don't win or you don't push into that conference championship, and, you know, I settled in about 2016, the Steeler loss. That's it. Like this, okay, great. We're in a good spot, but we're not winning a championship with Alex Smith, the quarterback. It's not happening. And this franchise has to get better, right? That Steeler loss was it. It's not going. And I think that Steeler loss was it for the franchise too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can love him some Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But they had to say, okay, whatever it takes, we're going to go get it done. And we're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
So those kind of dynamics are there. I think Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield's careers are going to be way better if they can get to a Super Bowl. Then that's off your back. So I do think for all the young guys not named Patrick Mahomes, there's a lot out there. There's a lot to be gained. There is a ton at stake because Baker Mayfield, it's all fresh. It's like 13 with the Chiefs, with Alex Smith, Baker Mayfield. Everyone's going to be happy. Okay, we can win a division title with this guy. We can win playoff games with this guy. He's already got that off his, you know, back, like Alex Smith did in 15 with the win down in Houston. Get a playoff win, against, and for them it's an even better playoff win because it's a Hall of Fame quarterback, albeit not with his A game, but beating Ben Roethlisberger and the hated Steelers, the franchise they can't get beyond. They're pretty much on a free roll. So I don't think there's a whole lot. Like Baker Mayfield can earn some things that are going to be big pressure for him later, but I don't think there's a whole lot on Baker Mayfield in this one. But I agree with you on Lamar Jackson, and I didn't have his name written down. And for the reason you said Tom Brady, I think that's interesting because mine was just like, he's won 6 championships. He's played in 9 Super Bowls. Who cares if he sniffs another one? But I had forgotten about the Belichick or Brady. Right, we already, it's very mm-hmm. much Brady with the Bucs being in the playoffs and Belichick's team being a disappointment, even for their expectations for this year. I would say that the Patriots ended up being a disappointment. But he does have a chance if he pushes in and wins a Super Bowl. Man, it is all Brady, right?
Yeah, even if he gets to the conference championship game, if he beats Drew Brees this weekend and he's standing there 1 game from the Super Bowl, I think he can just about, I mean, yes, getting there and winning it, shuts the door and locks it, but he can damn near shut the door on that just by winning this weekend and getting to the conference. You took the Buccaneers to the freaking conference championship game at 43. That's okay, everyone shut up.
Yeah, I guess because he's the GOAT, what he has an opportunity to do is there is a young buck on the horizon who looks like he can blow his numbers off the books. Right, if Mahomes can stay healthy,
mm-hmm.
you know, we mentioned he's going to get to 400 touchdowns 2 years before Aaron Rodgers, who was almost a full year ahead of Drew Brees, who got there way ahead of Brady.
Right.
So the kid's got a championship, and they look like they're going to be a championship contender here for years to come. You know, it's like he's a long way away, but you're like, God, is he coming fast?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so from that standpoint, if Brady would go win it with another franchise, with another coach, whole new set of teammates, that might be what it takes to say that, okay, Patrick Mahomes finishes his career by statistically blowing Tom Brady out of the water and wins 4 championships and 7 trips to the Super Bowl, but he won't even be close to Brady.
Even if he wins 6, it's that second team thing would be huge. That would be I don't want to overstate this here. It would seem to me to be one of the biggest impacts that winning a single championship could have on a person's legacy, because it would be a second team.
Right. And right now, who has won Super Bowls on multiple teams?
Peyton Manning.
That's it, right?
I think that's the only guy to win.
Kurt Warner played.
Yeah. A couple of guys have played.
Yeah, he won one and lost one. Craig Morton's lost 2.
Lost both his.
You know, but that's rarefied air. Mm-hmm. I hope to never need Patrick Mahomes to go find another franchise to try to get it done for. But the way it worked out, I mean, that is what's at stake there. I think that's pretty good. My thinking was different. Go ahead, Jeff. Something you want to add?
No, honestly, the what's at stake thing is an intriguing concept because it is kind of loosely defined to some extent. Is it? Would you think that a player has to have more to lose than to gain to have something at stake? Because the way I look at Baker Mayfield right now, at least this weekend, is unless he plays horribly, few quarterbacks who have started a divisional playoff game have less to lose than Baker Mayfield this week. You're playing on the road against maybe the best quarterback in the world, best player in the league. If you play pretty well and lose, he loses nothing this weekend.
Right.
He has everything to gain. But is that a person that doesn't have a lot at stake, or is it a person who has a whole lot to lose? Do they have something at stake? The definition of what that means it interests me to a great deal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's why I like that concept, because it can mean a lot of different things, and no one's really wrong by what parameters you put on it.
All right, let's take a break, because I want to come back. I want to give you some of the other names and why I think there's some big ones. And listen, this is not just a quarterback question. right? I mean, it can apply to any of the individuals that are taking part in this. So let's take a break and come back. 913-310-810. If you want in on the conversation, we've got our program picks coming up here at the end of the hour. So if you want to get in on it, grab a line now. 913-310-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
And unbeknownst to me, I pull it off the spool. It hits and rolls out from under the stall.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program. Sports Radio 810 WHB, the home of the National Football League. The program proudly brought to you by my friends, my guys. At Worth Harley-Davidson North, they're at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Great selection of Harley-Davidsons right now. It is the best time to get there. Nobody does a better job of getting you great financing, awesome trades. If it's got a title, they'll talk trades. Go see them right now. Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Talking about who's got the most at stake, I want to get Jazzy Jay in here. I'll give you some more names on that. Jay, you're in the program. You wanted to talk about Sammy Watkins because there's a lot at stake for Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, just a bit, Seren, and I, you know, I love your show and love the conversation. I just wanted to chime in about Sammy Watkins because his whatever he's going to get paid next year has been cut in half, in my opinion, with wherever he goes. Here's a stat for you. Since October 1, Sammy Watkins has his receiving yards is 266. That's not going to do it. And he's played 10 games all season. He's not practicing, I believe, yesterday or today.
That's right.
What? Tell me kind of what your outlook is for him as we look ahead to the playoffs. Is this guy just not going to play? Is this another Mitchell Schwartz type of deal? Or we're probably not going to see him? Or do you expect him to suddenly rise up and rise to the occasion like he did last year? And then secondly, as it tails to that, Sammy Watkins isn't the answer for next year. Mecole Hardman, to me, does not say wide receiver number two. And D-Rob also goes backwards more than he goes forwards half the time. We've got a wide receiver problem next year with the best quarterback probably, God knows, this city has ever seen, let alone all of the NFL. What do we do about that? And all of a sudden off the air and love the show and hope that Sammy Watkins shows up sometime.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for the kind words and thanks for the call. They do have a definitive need at the wide receiver position. I think Byron Pringle will obviously be back for the Chiefs and be in the mix, and Mecole Hardman. But they need a couple more. I mean, do they like Garrett Dieter? Do they think he can actually be a guy? I don't think he can be a guy at the level of the other guys. But that may be where you're at, and we're going to start seeing – you know, the ramifications of what come with handing out big contracts to everybody out there. It's why the draft is critical, right? It is critical for them to hit on picks. L'Jarius Sneed is a massive success. Willie Gay coming on and needs to come on. It needs to come on a lot more. Has to be a success, right? That has to come around. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to be productive. He did not practice today either. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Willie Gay Jr., and Sammy Watkins not practicing today for the Kansas City Chiefs. But those guys have to be able to produce. And I think the other thing that has to happen is the Chiefs have to start getting more picks, right? They're going to let a lot of guys walk, and they're going to get free agent compensation for letting those guys walk down the road, right? It's last year's free agent crop that creates this year's picks. So they've got to start moving down in the draft. They've got to start moving players for picks. They've got to start, you know, getting more draft picks because they need more players that are cheap but are good. They're going to have to get into the free agent market. You're going to be talking about veteran minimum contracts they're going to be offering to guys at a lot of spots. The good news is they should get the best minimum contract guy in football. Because everybody, if you're just getting offered the league minimum all over the place, then why not go play with the world champs, right? That would seem to be a no-brainer for any player out there that, okay, if this is what it is, this is where I'm at in my career, then right now I've got to make sure that I'm signed on with the best team around. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's the good news. But, yeah, wide receivers, a very important spot. The middle of the field. The middle of the offensive line is an important spot. LDT is saying he's going to come back, but Austin Ryder and Andrew Wiley are free agents. Allegretti has made it easier if you're going to have LDT, but you're going to have LDT probably for one more year. And he's saying he's going to come back. Let's see where we are in the pandemic. Let's see where his medical career is. I don't think you can hang your hat on him. It's going to get harder, right? The town around Patrick Mahomes is going to get thinner. That's just reality. It's just math, you know, unless they can become the greatest drafting team of all time. And I think they can be pretty damn good. You know, I think they've done well. I mean, Mecole Hardman is not a bad pick. Okay, I want to be clear about that. He is not a bad pick for this team. He's not a number one. There are guys that have been better that went at his spot or later. DK Metcalf, one of them, yes, that's always going to be – he's always going to be in that shadow because they could have taken DK Metcalf. But the production they're getting, the big plays they're getting from Mecole Hardman, he's justifying where he was picked. He's just not the best pick they could have made.
No.
And I do think receiver is a big need for them. And it's a good receiver class again next year. The guys are coming in ready to play now. And you're going to be picking down towards the bottom of the first round. That's a good spot for wide receivers. So, I think they actually have more needs than people realize. They overcome it because they have the ultimate deodorant, Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And a great coaching staff that really puts guys in a position to, you know, excel. But they have needs along the defensive line. They have needs in the interior of the offensive line, at wide receiver, and at linebacker. And frankly, I think at tight end, too. Because after Travis Kelce, it defines the word Jag.
Which just shows you just how tough it is to be a dominant team. Even the best team in the NFL every year is like, we got some stuff we got to fix in the offseason. No one just goes, well, we're set for 5 years. It's a continual struggle to keep a team at the top level it can possibly be, and the Chiefs are a perfect example of that.
And what Sammy Watkins, you want to talk about a guy who really could stand to come out and have a big playoff? It's him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he doesn't play in this game, the Chiefs would be eliminated. Ooh, I think you're talking league minimum with Sammy Watkins, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just has not shown any consistent ability to play.
No consistency to stay on the field at all whatsoever. You know, comes back from the foot. Now it's a series of soft tissue injuries all the time, which gets you labeled as being soft.
Mm-hmm.
Or not prepared, one or the other.
Yeah.
The productivity's not there when he's on the field. So who's going to go out and give him big bucks? Like, there's the ceiling's gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
He is what he is. He's a guy that can have a big day in any given game, but there's no guarantee it's going to be in the game that you need it to be.
And he's a guy who's thought to be someone who can, you know, if you have two other stud wide receivers, whether it's two wide receivers or a tight end or whatever, can kind of open the various parts of the field for them. But how many teams have what the Chiefs have to even use that as a plus? And so the things he can do to help your team are limited if he can't, especially if he can't be on the field.
I wish they had money. They don't. But Kenny Golladay being available, I would love to see Kenny Golladay with Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs offense. The Lions wide receiver, he's scheduled for free agency if he doesn't re-sign with the Lions. There are guys that are out there that would be a great fit with the other weapons, but you're just not going to have the money. So they're in all likelihood going to have to find somebody in the draft to make it go. Talking about guys who have the most at stake, tell me, who has more at stake, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees?
Oh, man.
The top guys on my list are Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and Bruce Arians.
My initial thought when you asked the question before I said Brady, I was thinking Rodgers because he's so advanced in age. But giving it more thought, I say Brees because I don't think his arm is even what Brady's is really. Plus, he is so old, too. He has the weapons around him, but I think that he has more, at least, than Rodgers.
And also, he's facing Brady. I mean, although if Rodgers loses at home to the freaking Jared Goff and the Rams, that's...
Or Blake Bortles.
Or Bortles, whoever it is. That's bad, too. That's a different kind of at stake.
That's agreed. He can't lose that game. I think it's a 7-point favorite and the number one seed. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be, you know, he's always going to have the championship, which is going to put him ahead of the Dan Marinos of the world, the Dan Fouts's, the guys that put up, you know, Philip Rivers, the guys who put up big stats but never won the championship. He'll always have that championship. But now with quarterbacks playing, they're not playing 10, 12, 13 years. They're playing 20 years. You're kind of supposed to get more than one, aren't you?
Yep. Yep.
And to have not only, I think, for both of these guys to have played as long as they have, with as put up as many stats as they have, to have just one appearance.
Yeah.
Not even a Super Bowl loss in there.
No. And the Packers have gotten to the doorstep and been knocked back more often than the Saints have. I think the Saints have only been in one other conference championship game since their title in 09. They won them. Those two guys went back to back 09 and 10. The Packers, I think, have been back three more times, but haven't been able to kick the door in. At least they've been there three. I think the Saints only been in the one a couple of years ago and they lost to the Rams. I think that's the only NFC championship game they've played in since 09. I could be wrong.
I actually think there's more at stake for Aaron Rodgers. And I'll tell you why. Because Drew Brees is never brought up, even though he's got 5,000-yard seasons and he's right there behind Brady now for the all-time touchdown mark, held it at one point. I think there's actually more because Aaron Rodgers is in the conversation for the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Drew Brees is never in that conversation, and I don't think winning a championship this year will put him in that conversation.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good point.
I think if Aaron Rodgers were to go and win it, number one, maybe he, you know, holds on to his spot there with the Packers, or it gives him his ability to choose where he goes when they walk away from his contract after next year. If that's the case, then he's got a Brady-like ability. But if he wins a second one and he's still got more years to go, I think he can make claims. He's still considered to be one of the best throwers of the football. So I actually think Aaron Rodgers, because he's got a shot to at least be in the discussion for the greatest quarterback of all time. And so does Brees. It depends on how many you let into the room. But if you're going to get down to two or three or four, Aaron Rodgers can be in that discussion.
Yeah.
Two or three or four does not include Drew Brees, in my opinion.
No. No.
And I don't know, based upon what he's got left in the tank, that it can ever be there. So I think from that standpoint, Rodgers has got the one seed, the home field advantage, going through Green Bay. He's got the other big names, so he's going to beat either Brady or Brees en route to getting it done. Oh, and by the way, like you pointed out, this is a Rams team that's either going to be playing a hurt quarterback or a crap quarterback. And so if he gas pipes it on that one, disaster.
Yeah.
Disaster.
And if you look long term in winning it all, he's going to have to go through Brady or Brees, and then the four stud puppets from one of the four stud puppets from the AFC, either the defending champion, the heir apparent to the, or one of the three heir apparents to the defending champion. A title for Green Bay this year would push Aaron Rodgers up the ladder quite a bit, considering he's 37 years old.
Sean Payton and Bruce Arians. Payton's already got a championship, so it'd be easier to say Arians has more on the line. But I think it's all the second Super Bowl for a coach, to me, is almost more important than the one. And
yeah,
the fact that Arians is going to do it with Tom Brady, he's not going to get the credit. So I actually think Sean Payton's the guy who's got the most at stake to get to the second championship on what figures to be his last year with a Hall of Fame quarterback, until they find another one because they're not on the roster. I actually think Bruce Arians is going to be known as the guy who Brady took to the Super Bowl. Right or wrong, good or bad, we know Brady can win championships without Bruce Arians. So I don't know how much validation there's going to be there. I actually think amongst the coaches, Sean Payton has the most out there. And if you wanted to say Andy Reid, I get the logic behind that, because, you know, he's got to, you know, he needs to pile up several to be in the discussion with Belichick for the best of all time. So he's got to get going, right? But I actually think Sean Payton to be a multiple championship winning coach. And the last thing I'll say on this, and then we'll take a break and get to Fat Jack. Last thing I'll say on this is, it's amazing how little, like, there's actually a lot on the line for Sammy Watkins, right? If Le'Veon Bell could come and play well, filling in for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there's a lot on the line there, all the free agents for the Chiefs. But realistically, when we talk about the guys at the top, None of the Chiefs came to mind, did it? You didn't say Patrick Mahomes has got the most at stake.
Nope.
I thought that was kind of interesting. That, like, I was writing down the names, okay, just when something would come to me, okay, how about this guy, how about this guy? You know, kind of going through all the coaches, and you just go right by really Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. There doesn't seem to be as much at stake. And I wonder if that's just because we expect success already, and we're looking at the other guys going, well, this will be the upset. This gets them. You know, I wonder if it's just the dynamics of where the teams sit. I don't know. We'll talk about it a little bit with George Schururi later on in the 5 o'clock hour. We will take a break. Program picks with Fat Jack coming up next.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Do the show, bitch.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a tradition as old as the game itself.
And that's why I like the Dayton Triangles, plus the 5.5 straight up over Canton.
Picking the right side is not child's play.
Doesn't take a genius to realize that Houston's failed to cover their last 10 outings on away turf the week after scoring more than 3 touchdowns in a conference game.
Ooh, my little girl says the cutest thing.
You need a little help.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
That's where he comes in.
This is my stone cold lock of the century.
All week.
It's the Program Picks with Fat Jack.
Yes, indeed. Always great to welcome into the program our good friend Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. We need a contestant. If you can beat me, all right, listen, beat me, not tie. Can actually win against me, then you'll get a gift card to Hen House. Go shopping. Take advantage of some great, great specials. Always back at the meat counter. Great specials on seafood as well. One of the more underrated parts of their meat counter. Great seafood selection there. Go check it out today at your neighborhood Hen House. Find all the specials and more at henhouse.com, or do like I do, download that Hen House app. It's got all the specials as well. Keep it in your phone. Go see them at Hen House, locally owned and operated for almost 100 years. That is your neighborhood Hen House. So let's get a contestant right now at 913-3810-810, 913-3810-810. Fat Jack, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great, actually, Soren. It's been a really, really nice week since we talked last. I was 4-0 in basketball on Friday. The NFL playoffs won Saturday. They won Sunday. We had Alabama on Monday night. Tuesday night, we were 4-0 in basketball. So a really, really good run leading up to this week's playoff rounds. And a great time. If guys are going to get signed up, now is definitely the time. When you go to FatJackSports.com, you can sign up today and get everything through the 2022 Super Bowl for about $200 a month. In, and you pay it out monthly over the next 8 months. You get baseball season for free, the rest of the playoffs between now and this year's Super Bowl for free, and then you're going to get every selection between now and next year's Super Bowl for about $200 a month, over paid out over 8 months. So go to FatJackSports.com. We have weekend packages coming up for this weekend. As I said, hoops are winning again this week. We had Alabama Monday. We had all the winners last week. We had a great weekend in the playoffs, and I do love this weekend's game. But there are very few times a year you can take advantage of this deal. So now's a great time to go to FatJackSports.com and start winning. Add some discipline to your betting.
913-3810-810. We have our contestant. It is Joe. Joe, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
I'm doing very well, as a matter of fact. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for playing. You understand you got to beat me. You can't tie me. But if you beat me, then you're going to win yourself a gift card to Hen House.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Good to know.
No problem.
I got it. Shut up and get to it.
Spunky contestants this week.
Yeah, and I'm the one with the snark. Okay.
Yeah. that feud guy yesterday was a little sparky.
It actually doesn't change. You are still the guy with the snark.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Good to know.
To be clear on that one. We got four games, right? The four playoff games that we're going to use. Chiefs are 10-point favorites at home against the Browns. The Packers are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Rams. Bills lay 2.5 points in Buffalo to the Baltimore Ravens. And the New Orleans Saints are a 3-point favorite as they go for a third victory against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in New Orleans. We will start with you in each round, Joe. Joe, Chiefs minus 10 against the Browns. Who you got?
If it was a bigger number, I think I'd go with the Browns, but I'm going to have to stick with the Chiefs on this one.
Okay, he likes the Chiefs minus the 10. I, too, like the Kansas City Chiefs minus the 10, so that will not be the game that you end up winning on. I think the Chiefs are going to absolutely blow the doors off the Cleveland Browns. I know I've been saying that for quite some time, but I really, even more than any of the other times I've said it and been completely wrong during their stretch of close victories, feel even more confident in this one. The Browns are not that good a team. The Browns are a team that's in the wash, and they're a middling team. They're outscored by 11 points during the year. They lost to the Jets 3 weeks ago. Spare me. The Steelers did everything to give that game to them. Cleveland is going to get their ass kicked in this game. I'll take the Chiefs. Jed?
I like a lot of what you just said, so I'll save the time and just say the Chiefs.
Okay, Curtis?
Nothing suggests the Browns will win this game. Almost nothing suggests they'll cover. Defending conference champs in the divisional round, favored between 9.5 and 10.5, 9-1 overall, 8-2 against the number. Browns were plus 5 against the Steelers and had to hang on to win. Chiefs bigly.
All right, Fat Jack, stunning. You've come to roost here in Kansas City, and we're all taking the Chiefs. I'm sure this blows your mind.
Shocking that everybody in Kansas City loves the Chiefs against the Browns. Yeah, and I love the breakdown of the between 9 and 10.5. That is a huge number threshold-wide as far as teams being able to cover. But overall, number one seeds are not that good against the spread in this round. 9-17-2 against the spread. So if people think that Kansas City and really the games they've been playing lately, they're going to be able to just throw their helmet on the field on this weekend and cover. That is not exactly what's going on. I think Cleveland is a lot closer than some people do to being a relevant team this time of year. You're right, that last week was easy to see after the fact. But I do think if this game was closer, that people around the country, I know, were going to look up and say, you know what, the Chiefs have not been putting together four quarters. Yeah, they've been able to just turn it on when they've needed to, but now we're in the playoffs, so it doesn't surprise me. It's hard for me to see Cleveland winning. And by the way, my clients all got, if they asked, it was a free play, but they all got Cleveland and the over. So I like them against Pittsburgh, too. And I do think they're going to be competitive for a while. But I'll lean toward Kansas City minus the points. I think this is either a 10 or 14 point game, and the back door will be open. And so if they don't run off and hide and do have some, you know, like sputter along the way or turn the ball over a little bit, Cleveland can certainly score late. I can't see Kansas City losing the game, but I can see a couple of scenarios. It's closer than the double digits, but just to lean toward Kansas City.
All right, let's go to the Green Bay Packers laying 6.5 against the Rams. Joe, what say you?
I got to go with Packers on this one again. I know it's favorite, but I just don't see how the Rams are going to keep up with Aaron Rodgers, and especially in Green Bay.
All right, Jed?
Jared Goff is questionable. Blake Bortles is your backup, and John Wofford has been ruled out. That's the Rams quarterback situation. Give me Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Cletus?
It's not even Wofford. I think it's Wolford, but that's how bad.
That's how much he deserves.
Rams have the best defense left in the playoffs, and I think it's by a fair margin, but I don't think that's enough to offset their deficit at quarterback. The fact they won't take it to 7 concerns me a bit, but the Packers are firing on all cylinders. Go Pack, go.
I hate this because the 2-1 seeds are not going to go 2-0 against the bigger numbers. Like, one of them's not going to cover. I definitely think the Chiefs are going to cover, but I also definitely think the Packers are, which makes me rethink this Packers selection. I'm with you. I know the Rams. I just a bad pick. Fat Jack was on the Rams last week, and he nailed it. And I knew it as soon as he started breaking down that game. I'm like, I am on the wrong side. This is crap. And I think this one is going to be about going after the Rams again. But I also think that there's people that are just going back to the Rams. Oh, screw it. Give me the Rams. I'm going to hate it. Give me the Rams. I hate it. I hate it already. No, don't give me the give me the Rams. Give me the Rams. I'll stay on it. The Rams. I hate this game. Hate it, Jack. I hate this game. This game sucks. 3 on the Packers and my horrible decision to take the Rams. What do you got?
What an incredible breakdown, though. I mean, you really, really got into it. You got in deep in that one. You're right, Seren. Bow your chest out a little bit, all right? I mean, favorites in the playoffs are not where you make your money. We were 1-11 against the spread going into last week in the wild card round. And this round also, underdogs are the plays. People cannot get by what they see on TV. We played the Rams last week. I didn't care who started at quarterback. Neither did Sean McVay. And so it's a similar situation here. And by the way, the game was at 7, and the sharps had bet it back to 6.5. It was 7 when it opened. 7 the first couple days, and the Sharps to bet back with the Rams because they, like me, don't care who plays quarterback for the Rams. They're not winning with their front with their quarterback. They're winning with their front four on defense. They're winning with Jalen Ramsey, matching up against the best receiver. Now, Aaron Rodgers, obviously a step up, but nobody thought Seattle was going to get beat by the Rams. Nobody thought that Pittsburgh was going to beat Cleveland. I mean, let's not forget those type of things we just saw happen last week. All of those underdogs really compete well in exactly this type of spot. The general public's going to be all over Green Bay here. The Rams are the right side. It's a low-scoring game, I think. Jared Goff is 0-2 against the spread when it's really, really cold with his finger or with his thumb, excuse me. I don't love that, obviously, but I don't think this is a game that is going to be a real high-scoring game. So I think this is under the total, and I also like the Rams plus the points.
All right, Bills, 2.5-point favorites, Joe, at home against the Ravens. Who do you got?
Give me the Ravens.
Ooh, he's got Baltimore. All right, Curtis?
Well, for all the talk about Lamar Jackson's great play, the Ravens scored 20 against a defense that allowed 27 a game this year. 20 won't get it done in Buffalo. I'll take the Bills.
I'm on the Ravens. I like Baltimore for all the reasons I said coming into it. I think they're I don't think they're going to have the same result that the Chiefs did, but they're last year's Chiefs this year, the team that had the bitter pill, that is good, that was catching fire, playing well down the stretch. They are a good defensive team, and I think Lamar Jackson, you know, he's healthier this year than he was last year. Give me Baltimore. I give me John Harbaugh, really, in this, but I think it's a tough spot. Vegas having it under 3 is what gives me the confidence in the Ravens. If they won't take it to 3, then they're not as sold on the Bills, so give me Baltimore in this one. Jed?
I don't love it, but I'm also on the Ravens.
Okay, 3 on the Ravens and Curtis on the Bills. Who's right, Fat Jack?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this last week. I gave all my clients Baltimore to win the Super Bowl at 12-1 last week. And like I said, I wouldn't bet my house on it, but they were a nice flyer. Lots of value with them. I thought last week would be a tough game for them, and that's exactly what we talked about. Now they're still in it. They're relevant, and they're going to be there for a while. This Buffalo team reminds me of Baltimore last year. I mean, they're a team that this is new territory for them. They are not used to being at this point in the playoffs. And I think Baltimore learned a lot from last year. Also, I like the coaching matchup. John Harbaugh is 12-6 against the spread in the postseason, 10-3 against the spread on the road. So he really does well on the road. And with the lack of fans up there, that was one of those stadiums this last week. They had limited fans. And with the gloves on, the mitts on, kind of stuff, it wasn't even a factor. So I like Baltimore here plus the points, and I'm going to – you know, I'm going to think they're going to be relevant. All they're going to have to do is win a couple of coin toss games late because these numbers are getting ready to come down next week and if they happen to make the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying they are yet. Let's look at next week, see how this thing goes. But I definitely think there's some value with them. And also the 2.5 is another key number. Look for where the money goes on this game. And if they don't move it up, Vegas likes Baltimore also.
All right, New Orleans, 3-point favorites against the Bucks. Where do you sit, Joe?
I'm going to have to go with old man January, Tom Brady, and take the Buccaneers.
He goes with the Bucs on this one. I, too, am going to go with the Bucs on it. I know it just seems too easy that the Saints had 2 big wins so that they just roll again. I'm not liking what I'm seeing out of Drew Brees as far as the way he's delivering the football. I think the Bucs play this game with double revenge. For whatever that's worth. I think it's worth something in this one. And I do think Brady's playing well. Again, every time you try to write the guy off, I don't think he's got the arm that he used to have, but he's got enough of an arm and he's got enough weapons. Give me the Bucks to get it done in this one. Jed?
I'm also on the Bucks. I like Brady and his playoff grit and grime.
His grime.
I don't know what that even means.
It's grime. Playoff grime.
Sounds like a fortune cookie.
Yeah.
Well, you would have gotten a better breakdown, Jack.
Is it my turn yet?
No, one more. Curtis will right. You know, come up with something he's been researching for 9 hours that's irrelevant.
It's tough to beat a team 3 times in the season, but that's because it's tough to sweep a playoff team in the regular season. Saints have already solved the toughest part of the equation. Bucks had to fight it out against a dude who many confused with an imported beer. I'll take the Saints.
Oh, look at that. God, man, you were up late writing that one. All right.
Wrote that 5
after
minutes
that
ago.
That piece of comedic gold, Fat Jack. Now it is your turn, my friend. Wrap us up.
Yeah, I always wait on Curtis. He's going to give us something good almost every time. Underdogs 12-8-1 against the spread in the divisional win. It's a divisional matchup in the postseason. Exactly what you guys are talking about. Being a team three times, very difficult, very familiar with each other. Also 11-9-1 to the under. So typically not as many points. Defenses catch up to the offenses, and it keeps it close. I cannot play Brady in this spot. Now, this has been something I've been saying since preseason. I thought they were going to underachieve. They really haven't. They went over their win total on the year. But I cannot get out of my own stubborn, arrogant way as it relates to Tampa. So I'm going to go ahead and play New Orleans minus the three here. And feeling I'm getting the better overall team and the better, much better defense. But I do have some concerns with also the way that Breeze has been playing. And Brady, if he gets out and plays well early, Breeze is not going to be in a situation to be able to come back. So hoping the game's close early and then Tampa draws off slowly, I'll take them minus the points.
Yeah, very good. Very good. All right, Jack, tell everybody again how they get in touch with you and what specials are going on right now.
I got lulled. It's only four games today. No, you're exactly right. Yeah, guys, now's the time. If you're going to play this weekend, we have packages all weekend long. It's $149 for everything through Sunday. That's football and basketball. Hoops are going today and football all weekend. But get signed up for the year. You get the place for free between now and the Super Bowl. You can pay it out monthly over the next 8 to 10 months. And the prices will go up as it gets closer to the Super Bowl on those season packages. Go to FatJackSports.com. We won last weekend. We're going to do it again this weekend. Get signed up today and win this weekend betting the games against the spread.
Fat Jack, you're the man. We appreciate it. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hi, guys. Have a great week. See you soon.
All right, buddy. Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. Check out his great work. Great packages available right now at FatJackSports.com. We will take a break. Come back. Your opportunity to win great Cajun food from Jazz. A Louisiana kitchen. That's what we've got coming your way next.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what stadium has hosted the most divisional playoff games? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.